The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, numbers game here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside. Appreciate Joe Sheehan jumping on, talking some baseball with us. We still have Paul Spohr to come, Drew Densick to come as well. And Kelly Bidlin, I look over my shoulder over here. $500,000 entries into the Grandissimo. We have, what is that, 4,554?
I just went to the 26? Eye doctor, so let me do this.
Yeah, you do this. Yeah.
I believe that's 4,524.
Oh, okay. So here's the problem. This is actually was talked about on the way out of the studio yesterday. It's been 3 years. See, I wear the specs, but I hadn't been to the eye doctor in 3 years.
Yeah,
I bet you these things are out of, these are out of date.
It's also one of those, so I just went. Man, do you feel like I did the same thing. It was probably like 2 years since I had gone. And then like whenever you leave the eye, it's the easiest doctor to go visit on the planet. Like you leave with updated glasses that make you see better. Like there's not any pain involved or anything like that. Right. It's just a little.
It's
seeing
just
tests.
The time. It's the time commitment and throwing it on the calendar, which I just got to get over with all that. But of course you can come join all that. We got 30 million guaranteed if you put the pick 'em contest in there as well. And listen, they went back with the $6 million guaranteed in that. That's overlaid 2 years in a row. So come get it. I bet you they don't do it again next year if it overlays again. So come get you some of that overlay maybe if we can't get there with the $6 million guaranteed and circa million. But $20 million. What's that?
You think this could be last year that?
Not of the contest, of the $6 million guaranteed.
No, I know. Okay. All right. Interesting.
Might roll that puppy back to five, you know? You don't want to keep giving away money. They don't rake these things.
I will tell you, man. How many millions do you usually do?
I only do, I've scaled back to one for content purposes.
Yeah, no, I know.
I feel horrible at that contest.
I feel like all of us have, or a lot of us have scaled back because guess what? It's tough.
It is.
We always talk about Survivor, millions of stuff, man.
So you only love probably two bets a week. You like maybe one or two others. You really never get to five. Then it's difficult because the lines are in place whenever, earlier and whatever. And so sometimes you get duped into like betting a stale line just because, and then all this when you don't really like the side. And there's a lot of game theory to all of that. And I'm just absolutely the worst at it because I'm always 2-3 or 3-2.
Yeah.
And so what you never want to be is middling.
Right.
You want to be terrible because they give you a prize for that.
Yeah. Booby prize.
You'd rather be terrible than middling. And you'd rather be good than middling. But honestly, I think all of us just play because you can sun run for a quarter and then maybe win something. I don't think you honestly think you're going to win the whole contest, but at least if you can do it, if you can run hot for 4 or 5 weeks, that's the reason we do it.
No, that's it. But that is the for as much as, I'm down to one a year and I don't think I'm going to be increasing that anytime soon, even though everybody freaks out about the overlay and the guaranteed money for Survivor, right? It's there every year in millions. Yeah. It is there. I don't think I'm going more, but like the selling point is really easy. It's that. Like you've brought everybody who's bet NFL before. We've all had those hot streaks and you've seen yourself go 3, 4, 5 weeks. It's just, it's kind of like Gil betting the monthly baseballs, right? Like it's got to happen in the perfect window. It's got to happen over the perfect 4 or 5 weeks, but you can do it because you've probably done it before at home.
Or you can also sun run the opposite direction because they also do a quarterly booby prize.
That's right.
So if you can just be horrific for 4 or 5 weeks as well.
I think, did Densick scoop that fourth quarter one last year? I think he did. We'll ask him next segment. Yeah, I know he was in the running for it.
Yeah, so like you can just be horrific for 4 or 5 weeks and then you can go in and do that. So again, just fun stuff. And again, just head on out here.
They're the best, man.
Yeah, no rake on these contests. CircusSports.com for more information. If you want to get involved in that, I think I'm gonna max it out again on the Survivor this year. I got to Thanksgiving last year.
Yeah, you did, man. Yeah, you did. Good for you. I think I'm sticking with three. We'll see.
Thanksgiving last year.
Every year, somehow, Matt, I forget how expensive this time of year is. Where you're like, oh yeah, contests. I've got NBA like win totals opening up fire on. We got to go get all NFL futures in.
Well, so now that we're getting close to this, so Kelly kind of knows how my process with everything. So as a protection against myself, I'm pretty good with bankroll management. I've at least lived through the poker era and the DFS era and all the things like that. But that being said, just to protect myself from myself, at the end of football season every year, I will go in and I will kind of like drain the accounts down to a manageable number to where I can still bet baseball and bet basketball and all the different things and golf comfortably, mm-hmm. but not be sitting there with a balance in there that tempts me to want to do it either at a level that I shouldn't be doing it at and or start to dabble in things that I shouldn't be dabbling in. And
like,
it's worked for me.
I'm getting this 25% boost on this parlay. Let me see how many legs I can throw into.
So it's like, so I've, you know, it works for me and I'm sure it doesn't have to work for everyone, but there's just the annual tradition. Super Bowl gets done, go take the accounts down a little bit, just put them the bankroll always stays separate from just normal money. It just sits in another deal. Then I come in before football season starts and refund all the accounts. I'm going, oh, we're about to August. I'm about to have to go in and repop all these puppies.
You know, you are.
Go in there and
get them ready, man.
Throw the money back in there and get it ready to roll.
Prime the accounts.
Yeah. It's kind of a self-realization of what you're good at and what you're not. And like, for me, I don't want to be tempted to, which I didn't, by the way. I think I only made one or two World Cup bets or something like
really?
That. Really? Yeah.
Are you serious? Maybe, you got the World Cup craze and only made two bets?
Maybe two World Cup bets, two or three World Cup bets, something like that.
I mean, I watched you USA splain to Alex Blowers for 2 hours during an England match about how soccer could be better, but you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know you didn't have any bets on it. Wow.
Yeah, I think it was, two or three, something like that or whatever. We know what we're good at. We know what we're bad at. We know what we don't know. I don't know enough about soccer betting, you know, to get in there and mix around just for
For sure. Yeah. Hey, look, the bankroll management is important. That was a great little spiel. I do something similar, but still it's you're kind of laughing. We could laugh more off air, but every time this time of year rolls around, I'm like, oh boy, this is pricey. Like, I never think I'm going to be into as many NBA win totals as I seemingly am, even though I know they're coming around this time every year. And then it's the other thing, I know it's the cleanup and finally get all those NFL futures in that you've been thinking about for 2 months, right? And watching lines move and everything. And then, get ready for contests.
Usually the accounts are much fatter anyway, even after I drain them, because I hit more golf outrights than I've hit this year.
Hey, real quick, we get tweets. There's still, what do we got? We got 5 weeks left.
Yeah.
2 weeks of the regular season, 3 weeks of the playoffs.
There we go. Yeah.
We get tweets. Jim Dal Torio. Good morning, Kelly Bidlin.
Yes.
Ta De Pogacar is how to pronounce the world's best cyclist. Not making fun of you. I know it's not your sport. I think that's exactly what I said before. If he's trying to help me out with my pronunciation, I'm only making it worse.
I thought maybe that's what you said.
That's what I thought too. Jim at James Sod. I know Gil isn't in, but shout out to him and the Bo Sox July wins. Not even a sweat was involved. Amazing. Good for everybody out there that had those tickets. 80-1 for Gil. I know it was shorter for most people, but good on you for cashing those today.
Yeah. Could have gotten sweaty if they'd have blown that one last night. Could have gotten sweaty
last week. They had the one rain out, right? Yeah. We were getting these. I could see Gil getting a little nervous because we're getting these tweets about how bad the weather was supposed to be. And you're like, oh my God, it'd be the worst.
Could have gotten sweaty. That being said, actually the Giants ended up shutting out the Brewers anyway, so it all would have come out in the wash. But you know, you never want to lose to the A's in the current fashion that the A's are sitting right now. But over in baseball, we got these race to 40 home run markets that are out there. I mean, listen, Yordan Alvarez is your overwhelming favorite in all of this because he is really, really good at hitting the baseball. Schwarber, plus 145 over in the National League. That said, you kind of look at this, and I think if I had to go one way or another, Kelly, you look at Schwarber, and he at least has a little bit of protection in that lineup, and so there's not an obvious way to get around him. Whereas Yordan Alvarez, I do think we will get to a point where Yordan Alvarez is going to start getting not the Barry Bonds treatment. That's silly for me to say, but the hey man, we're going to nibble and we're going to keep nibbling on you. And if you end up walking, you can't run anyway. Your knees are terrible and all the fine. You know, if you end up walking, we're not afraid of you on the base pass and things like that. I think that there is a world that exists. So I couldn't lay it, even though he's a home run up. I would only be taking Schwarber here in this one. I would never be taking any of these other guys. I know Ben Rice sitting there with a ton of home runs, but we talked about the futility of that Yankees offense right now as it is. Not going to turn over that lineup as many times. I bet his at-bats are going to be fewer than both of those other guys when it all comes down to it. So it's Schwarber a pass for me on this, but you know, you could talk me into a longer shot because injuries do happen. Injuries are always a thing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But like, I've been staring at this for like a week now because I've kind of wanted to bet the Schwarber's been, you know, as he's been one home run back, which feels about like 5 or 6 days now, it's been at a plus price, and I kind of want to get involved. We're running out of runway, though, right? Race to 40, six more for Alvarez, and you're done. Man, it's getting a little tight. I don't know if I'm going to bet it. Could you make a case, though, with those two guys? Those two guys, two home runs up on everybody else. It's one of those two, right? Like, yeah. I kind of want to make a longer shot case, but, like, they want to, nobody's beating those two guys at the finish line, right?
No, but so the only problem that you do get with Alvarez and Schwarber is both of them are actually patient hitters. If you look at Schwarber, even though his batting average is always, like, pretty low, if you look at his on-base percentage, it's always very high.
Right.
Like, he actually... Yeah, he swings and miss. There's a lot of swing and miss in his bat, but he also knows what a ball is, you know, and like he will walk, and so will Yordan Alvarez. And so the only thing that could perhaps get this a little wonky would just be the fact that, again, like I said, these pitchers start nibbling on them and whatever, and they just take what they're given, right? I mean, they'll take the walk, they move on. Whereas a guy like, no one's pitching around Hunter Goodman, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like nobody's pitching around Ben Rice, like that's not happening. They just might get more pitches to hit.
Yeah. Only other one worth noting on here is like James Woods up to 30. He's not listed. He would fall into that any other batter at 40-1. The problem is it's basically everybody that was on our graphic and James Wood, and then it drops down to 27 home runs.
It's like we said, guys, that NFL betting guide is out right now. I talked about that rookie article that I wrote in there. But of course, we have all of our picks across everything, the division picks, the conference picks, and of course the Super Bowl picks. As well, go in, learn the draft picks, learn the free agents, all of that. VSiN.com/subscribe. You get it as part of our VSiN Pro. $175 now to the end of the Super Bowl.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN, and Kelly, we were talking about, you know, we didn't heard anything on this whole Max Crosby thing whenever we were talking yesterday about the AFC West.
Yeah.
And then because our computers are listening to us. No, actually, there was just an article that happened to drop today on ESPN.
But seriously,
and it was talking about the training camp questions for the Raiders. One of was, will Max Crosby be traded again, you know, and basically saying that even though he's embraced being back, even though he really never left, it's not like they're not going to get calls from interested parties, especially as we know, because every single training camp, we get a major injury, unfortunately.
Right.
Like, and so there will be some team that thinks that their defensive line is set and then something's going to happen and the Raiders will probably get a phone call.
You could say this could happen in the course of the season too, but it could also just happen to Max Crosby unless he's sitting out games, right? Like it's also something that could happen. So I'm a little surprised we didn't hear more about that almost immediately.
Yeah, I mean, but he's the guy that, of all the guy, he's the guy that's just, you know, okay, cool. He loves the community, obviously, has all the stuff that he does out here and whatever. He's like, okay, whatever, I'm back. Let's let's do it until we don't. Let's do it until we don't. Let's head out to the guest line here. Drew Densick. Of course, you can find his stuff over at NBC Sports, Deep Dive Podcast, Whale_Capper. Drew, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Interesting little conversation you're having there about Max Crosby. Andy and I talking about the NFC North this week. And it does feel like all of those teams have, a spot for a premier pass rusher. And I was kind of kicking around the idea of like, man, why aren't the Bears calling the Raiders? Mm-hmm. Why aren't the Lions calling the Raiders? Like, you know, these teams could really use that, that little nudge to push them to the top of what is a really clustered division. And then I kind of looked back and I was like, wait, what was it that the deal that the Ravens had? I forgot. They had two firsts.
Yeah.
Yes. Like at the time it didn't really clock as like an overpay, but wow. Like the idea that someone would give up a first in next year's draft at all, you know, considering how talented it is pretty wild. But then, you know, a first from that was pretty high pick in last year's draft. Crazy also. So, I'm starting to think that there's probably less of a concern about his health, and it was more of just the Raiders. The Ravens realized they overpaid when, backing out with that deal. So, fascinated to see if that setting the bar that high in terms of what the demand is going to be on the Raiders side of the equation keeps him in black and silver.
It certainly doesn't kind of seem to fit in with what they're doing, right? I mean, it seems like this does seem like they're embracing a rebuild here. You bring in Kirk Cousins to probably start the first handful of games before you actually go to your rookie quarterback that you spent the first overall pick on. Like, Max Crosby, as good as he is, you look in the mirror, you understand we're not winning anything for another year or two anyway at the very earliest. And so he doesn't really fit into the plans. I'm like you. I think he's got to be on the move somewhere. It's just the price has got to come down.
Yeah, right. And even if the Raiders are trying to win this year, their schedule is so difficult. And, the idea of them not finishing fourth in the AFC West feels pretty, pretty far-fetched. Win total of 5.5 is squarely on my projection for this squad. I don't really understand the idea of being caught, being slow rolling the Fernando Mendoza experience. Like, get this guy's feet wet. Let's go. I think 2 years ago is probably the best example you'll ever have of a young quarterback in Drake May on a roster that was not competitive, and particularly behind an offensive line that was like going to put him in harm's way. And even in that scenario, with a coaching staff that was wildly inept, cooler heads prevailed and he was the starter by like week 5. And so it's really tough to think that your long-term ability to get something out of this rebuild, it starts with getting your quarterback some NFL experience. And presumably you would prefer to start start Fernando in a home game, as opposed to putting him into his first start on the road. And as you look at the home games for the Raiders,
it's the most ridiculous schedule like ever to try to get a rookie in. It's like, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's like, we could throw him against the Broncos, the Browns, the Seahawks, the Niners, like the Rams. It's a cavalcade of like absolutely violent pass rushes and elite quarterbacks on the Raiders schedule this year. And so, there's kind of no good time. You might as well just, get him out there week one, in my opinion. But it sure seems like they're dedicated to this Kirk Cousins experience for some reason.
Yeah, Drew, I'm just enjoying that you kind of just did the same thing I did earlier on the show, because Matt brought up maybe wait until the bye. And I was like, no way. And I'm like, I can't find a better spot to insert. maybe. This is brutal for the Raiders.
The Titans week 16 looks pretty good. Then you get the Cardinals.
Cardinals afterwards. That's pretty good. All right, Drew, you and Andy have started doing team by team, division by division, sure, over on the Deep Dive. Everybody go check it out. A must listen, I think, as you're getting all your NFL futures and previews done before the season. Biggest takeaway from you so far from any team, any player? Is there anybody you kind of changed your mind on from going into that conversation with Andy?
Changed my mind. I've gotten a lot colder on the Bills than I thought I was going to be. There's a couple of teams where, and actually the exercise of like coming up with a fair price and then building out like the, where could we go from here is kind of the most valuable part of it for me. There are two teams so far that I've put a price together. Like one was the Eagles and one was the Bills. And after it was like there in paper and I'm staring at it, I'm like, this is as high as they're going to be for me all season. Like, there's really only one way that this goes, and it's down, right? Like the Eagles, they are in my mind, like there's plenty of scope for that offense without AJ Brown to come down in terms of perception and ceiling. I think they have a high floor defense and probably still win the East, but like rating them as a +4 right now feels very, very optimistic, and they could very clearly be like a 1 or a 2 by the time we get to midseason based on the offense just being a little bit unimpressive. And then the Bills, like this defense is like, it is really, really poor. I am blown away by The kind of lack of quality players across the defensive roster right now for Buffalo. And on the offensive side of the ball, you have the best quarterback in football and Josh Allen, like kind of getting it done with not a lot else. And there was attrition in the offensive line in the offseason. They haven't really, in my opinion, addressed the skill position group. The big move and the big splash was trading for DJ Moore, which is effectively you took a problem off of the hands of the Bears. Like, I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't know if this is necessarily a step forward for an organization who feels like their window is closing. And I kind of am prepared for this to be a little bit of season from hell for Josh Allen. We haven't ever seen one of those. Last year, he ended the season with, limited physical, issues with, having sustained a broken foot. And that was at the end of a year where I felt like had specifically bubble wrapped him, had specifically limited his rushing opportunities in order to keep him healthy for the postseason. And it still didn't work. So, this Buffalo Bills team is a Josh Allen injury away from being ranked 30th, not that much different than the Dolphins and the Jets. And on the flip side, in division, the Patriots to me feel like a team that's being a little bit slept on. Everybody's expecting a Super Bowl hangover with this tougher schedule and, kind of ignoring the fact that you had a breakout performance and effectively a co-MVP performance from Drake May last year. And now you're adding AJ Brown to the skill position group. It is not hard to remember 2007 when Josh McDaniels had Randy Moss and Wes Welker as kind of new toys to pair with an elite quarterback. And all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, this is the best offense that we've ever seen in football. Right. And now he is not in that same exact situation where you have, peak Hall of Famer Randy Moss, but AJ Brown is a absolute game difference maker, game changer, take the top off the defense player. And Romeo Dubs is a perfect slot player. So you actually now like a world where Josh McDaniels is like, I'm going to go back into the playbook and look up some of those 2007 game plans and see if that stuff will work in today's NFL with Drake May. I'm excited to see it. It's the Patriots are not a perfect roster by any stretch of the imagination. I think their defense was they had an opportunity to really improve that group and they didn't, which I think is ultimately going to keep them from really contending for a Super Bowl this year. But right now, calling Buffalo versus New England. New England, I'm coming in with a number that I feel like has scope to absolutely go up. They could end up being one of the top five offenses in the NFL. Top two, top three is really their ceiling. Meanwhile, Buffalo to me looks like this is as high as they're going to be all year. Just limited performance from Josh Allen, stagnation in the Joe Brady system. To me, this that group could find themselves being neutrally rated pretty quickly. So, yeah, been fun.
As Kelly said, deep dive podcast over there with Drew and Andy at @whale_capper on the Twitter machine. Drew, appreciate the time, buddy.
Best of luck, you guys.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN. Matt and Kelly, appreciate Drew stopping by here with us as we start to talk about, there's some interesting things that are going on. The Vegas scene always changes. This is where we kind of set the tone for the rest of the country, but this is actually them kind of following the lead of some of these other cities where some of these nightclubs have gotten extremely, extremely packed and hard to get into and all the whatever. And so there's now these membership clubs. Basically, you pay monthly for the privilege to go in and then pay them to drink their alcohol. Yeah. But that being said, it is a place that you could, there's a use case to this, which would be if you're in a business in which schmoozing is how you get business.
Sure. Networking.
And
yes,
all of that.
But it's often drinks and dinner.
There is a use case to this because you take the person into this place that feels super exclusive. It's not too crowded, so you can find a place to sit down. You're not screaming to be able to talk to each other. So there is a use case for these places or whatever, but they're popping up all over town. And you actually, you speaking of pop, you popped up to one for
I had a drink in one. Yeah, the old poodle room in Fountain Blue. It's very nice. I don't really understand it, but it's nice. Just because I don't know, it's a membership in Las Vegas. Like people, most people that are at like a Fountain Blue are not here, are not living here.
Okay, fair. I guess it could also be though, like I just said, that if you're in that, if you're in a business in which you're schmoozing people all the time and heading down to the strip constantly, as it
is. No, I agreed. That because person, it makes sense for.
Taking, you know, you're constantly taking clients to dinners and things and whatever and all stuff like that. Like being able to have that as part of your little pitch.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, let's pop up real quick. And you go through the private door and then you take the private elevator and you go into this club that's like super, super nice and all that. I mean, it probably gets you some points.
It's fair. I might have had a few in me when I was up there, Matt, but I went up there and I was like, man, this is great.
This is great. They're all at the top of these buildings, right? Too. So you get the what views
view.
And the whatever.
What a view. There were so many places to sit down and relax. Mm. Like, where are all the people at? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's why. Because there's a membership and that it's... You know, but one of my next thoughts then was like, where are the tables? There's got to be tables at somewhere. Nope, none. No, there wasn't any gambling that I could see, which is just kind of, that's another like Vegas bizarro thing, right? Where you're like, all this floor, we talk about how much this floor space is worth all the time for these slot machines. And I'm like, wow, there's a lot of room up here. No gambling.
Can't. All gaming in Nevada has to be public.
Oh, there
so,
you go.
So they can't do that.
Matt Brown.
So even the exclusive tables, in theory,
right, accessible.
You would be able to access them, have access to them. It's just they try to make it hard for you to, you know, to do.
Okay, good example of that. The rooftop one at Resorts World.
Yes,
but
yes.
Some of my favorite blackjack tables are up there because it feels like they're secluded. But no, anyone
can use any of those, or whatever. So okay, Kelly Bidlin, we're getting into these division previews, and we actually, interestingly enough, Drew decided to go ahead and talk about the AFC East, and that's the one that we're going to talk about today as well. And we might as well kick things off here with the team that he was talking about in the Buffalo Bills and what could or could not be for this Buffalo Bills team. You still have the best quarterback, probably. I know there's going to be people who want to argue this, but let's put it this way. He's no further than third on anyone's list, and it's basically, it would be a 1A, 1B, 1C situation, even if you said that somebody was better than Josh Allen.
Okay, so, real quick. We don't need to spend 20 minutes on it. Is he the best quarterback in football to you?
If I was starting a team tomorrow... Mm-hmm. He would be the quarterback that I would start.
Okay,
with.
Great. Next question. Is he the most valuable player in the NFL to the point spread?
He would have to be.
He'd have to be, right? And I was kind of thinking about this as Drew was talking. He has to be. And this year specifically, I mean, and you could bring this over to last year too, go back. It feels like he is worth the most of the point spread and by a margin from what we've seen in a while. Because I think we're going to go talk about the rest of this team. I think you could easily make the case that, like Drew said, Josh Allen is not on this team. Where is this Bills team at? Yeah. They're nowhere near. I mean, the Patriots are a massive favorite to win this division if he's not on this team. And I think we're probably talking about a bottom, I don't know, 10 team in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would depend on who you threw back there, but sure. I mean, it's they're not completely devoid of talent. If you look, by the way, the reference to the number that Kelly's bringing up, -136 for them to win the division, +125 for the Pats, and then 19-1 for the Jets and 40-1 for the Dolphins. You have Josh Allen, of course. James Cook has been a very solid running back for this team. He's been able to do a guy that's been able to kind of do it all for them. Dalton Kincaid kind of had a breakout season last year. It was almost because he had to, though. There was no one else to throw to and no one else to make plays. So Dalton Kincaid had a really good year. You look at this wide receiving core, and it kind of comes down to what we were talking about yesterday. It's like you just look at the wide receiving core and go, you know, I see the Chargers and I see these wide receivers that they have, and I know that there is pedigree there, but I haven't really seen it with my own eyes. Well, DJ Moore, we have seen good seasons from him, obviously. I mean, like 2023 was a great season for DJ Moore, but he's never been looked at as an elite receiver in the NFL. And then Khalil Shakir is just what Khalil Shakir is. He's kind of more of a gadget dude. Slip him a bubble screen, you know, try to get the ball in his hand so he can, you know, shake some dudes and whatever and all that. But like,
He's great. I think he's great and he fits perfectly with this team, but it's, you need, they've always needed that other guy on the outside.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then if you look who then is next, because you start to look down on the list here at the wide receiver position, and like you've got Josh Palmer, Keon Coleman experiment. They tried to get rid of him. You know, you don't really love those guys or whatever. So it gets thin very quick, right? By the way, Shavers
made a couple catches last year.
Yeah. Mecole Hardman is on this, like, you know, on this team as well with all of that. So it gets thin very, very quick at the receiving position. Now, the offensive line's actually pretty good. I know Drew said there was a little bit of attrition, but it's overall, I think the more parts than not are good for them. So I don't think Josh Allen's gonna be running for his life or anything.
One of the best centers and left tackle combinations in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Between McGovern and Dawkins.
And then even on the right hand side, having Spencer Brown, I think is quality as well. On the defensive side is where things do get a little bit interesting. You've got a couple of corners that are questionable at best. You look at the defensive line and you have to wonder, okay, can Bradley Chubb rekindle some magic, right? Because
he's a complete scheme change to start with.
Yes.
Right. I mean, that is no more Sean McDermott. This is Jim Leonard in complete scheme change of how we're going to line up here.
And you look and like, Russo's been fine for them for sure, but then you look at that secondary level, the linebacking core is weak. You look at the safety position is weak as well. And so if this Patriots team, which we'll talk about next segment, if this Patriots team does take a step forward, you start to look and maybe this is a whole lot more even than it looks. And maybe this is actually wrong team favored in this division, because if this defense is gettable, And you look at what they're going to have to do on offense, which is, again, make magic out of kind of thin air with Josh Allen throwing to DJ Moore and Khalil Shakir and Josh Palmer and Keon Coleman and stuff like that. There could be a power shift going on in this division, maybe sooner than we even thought.
Yeah, it could be. It's going to be a wait and see for me. I am in on the Bills. I bet them to win the division. I would bet it that way over a win total as opposed to a win total, because I'm just trying to isolate. I think this is a two-team division, right? I think this is Bills versus Patriots. I don't think the Jets and Dolphins are involved in this at all. We'll talk about them as well next segment. But I'm isolating that. Patriots, we're going to talk about them. It's going to be a lot of schedule conversation, right, from last year to this year, which I think is fair. But still think Drake May is a very good quarterback. And yes, could we hit a point where, maybe this team looks far, you know, way quicker developed than we were expecting? Yeah, I think it's possible. I'm just wondering, I think the Buffalo defense is fascinating because I don't know. I think it's very repeatable what they did on offense last year. It was this kind of like clunky, unsexy rushing attack, right? Like, we're going to feed James Cook a ton. Drew brought up kind of bubble wrap Josh Allen, but use him when we need to, right? Just move the chains. Second best running attack over Pro Football Focus in the NFL last year. I don't know that we're going to see anything vastly different from that, especially with it's only DJ Moore that you added, right? You didn't go at a huge name wide receiver on the outside. I think that offensive attack stays pretty similar. The defensive questions are absolutely fair, though.
Guys, the quest for $18.7 million, episode number 2, hits tomorrow. But if you missed episode 1, don't worry, head to the VEASAN YouTube channel. You and a whole bunch of other people have been able to take in episode number 1, go in, kind of set the tone here for the series. One rollout every single Wednesday over the course of the whole show here, taking us all the way down to the check ceremony whenever we get the winners for not only Survivor, but Grandissimo as well. So VEASAN YouTube, 9 p.m. Eastern tomorrow and every Wednesday, but you can catch up on episode 1 sitting over there on the channel right now as it is. Kelly, we will talk the Dolphins and the Jets. I'm sure that won't take much time for us to kind of get past them.
I'm going to guess mainly Patriots.
Yeah, for the thoughts on those teams and what we think that they are capable of doing and or not doing, which I guess it's more of the not doing here in this division. And then, of course, get to that New England Patriots team that made the big offseason move, acquiring A.J. Brown. Is that going to be enough for Drake May and company to unthrone the Buffalo Bills here in the AFC East? More football talk when we come back.
A numbers game on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
seen a lot of it online. Wonder if anybody else out there is doing this, but there's like this 82-0. I don't know if you guys have seen
we're
this.
We're like little, 3 weeks late.
This little game. Yeah, everyone was doing it. Yeah, everyone was doing it. And then just we swooped in here.
We're like 6 or 7 months late.
Yeah, we're on it. Yeah. So basically you go in, it's a random little like lottery, and like it'll show a team and an era. And then you get to pick the prime version of that player from that team in that era, and
that
you
decade.
Plug it in, yeah. and you make a that decade, and you end up making a team. Obviously, the goal is to go 82-0. We figured out that unless you get prime Wilt Chamberlain, then like you can't go 82-0. But we were trying.
I don't know that for sure. I'd hope that's not true.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, the longer you play this, you will one of two ways. Are you just having fun, or are you just trying to get prime Wilt so you can build out the rest of
it? Yeah, yeah. So
and see what funny names you could pair with.
So I no longer just punt whenever I get the prime Wilt, because I'm trying to get to the 82-0 without Wilt.
Yeah, it gets boring. Yeah. Gets boring quick. I mean, I saw somebody had Bronny on their roster with prime Wilt, and that was 82-0.
Yeah, see, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's
ridiculous.
So you and I at least have 2 78-4 teams. I want everyone to let us know which one is better. So at point guard, I have Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
Shooting guard.
From decade, which decade?
This is the 2010s Oklahoma City version.
Okay.
I have the Cleveland 2010s LeBron James at shooting guard. I have the 2000s version of Grant Hill at small forward. The 2000s version of Chris Webber at power forward. And then I have no idea how good Walt Bellamy was in the 60s, but like what my center is Walt Bellamy.
Good enough to get you 78 wins.
78-4. So that's my 78-4 team. And your 78-4 team is what?
Mine's way more fun. It's way more fun. First of all, LeBron at point guard. So,
okay.
So that's topical.
There we go.
From today.
There we go. Right off the bat.
Just working this into news today, you know? Got LeBron at point guard, the 2010s LeBron, so, you know, the best. 2010s James Harden at shooting guard.
Okay.
He was lighting it up.
Yeah, he was lighting it up.
Jimmy Butler, 2010s. Okay, that Minnesota
And he was filling the stat sheet.
That's right.
The thing about him is he's the points and rebounds and assists and steals
guy. Get out there and defend on the perimeter for me. And then Anthony Davis at power forward from the 2020s.
So, okay.
All right. Championship Lakers, I guess, Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
And then Kareem holding it down at center. That's a fun roster.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I don't know if Walt Bellamy could have bodied up with Kareem or not, because I don't know what Walt Bellamy brings to the table. But, like, I mean, here's the problem. Everyone's going to say your team is better just because you have Kareem at center. But we don't know for sure that Walt Bellamy couldn't have held his own.
No,
with
we
Kareem.
Don't. We don't.
So who knows? Maybe mine could. Maybe my team could handle.
I screenshotted so many of these. It's real bad.
It's a fun game. By the way, it's 82-0. There's an app. There's also a website. You just sit there and it's all random. You just spin and then you pick the player and you make a team.
It very quickly reminded me how much we don't appreciate some of these players too.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's the
The other thing you will get, because it gives you their best year within that decade.
So
you will forget that some of the, like, you get like a Detlef Schrempf or something or whatever, and you go and you're just going, he did that in a season? Like, you're like, wow, that is amazing.
Okay, but also, like, that's a good example, because then you're like, oh, there's a lot of, for how many Detlef Schrempfs are out there of how many ever years he played in the NBA, you forget, like, LeBron's in year, what are we in now? Like, it's insane. Yeah. It spans over three different decades. Like, it's wild. But, like, just the versatility, right? It's like every team I was building, I'm like, Giannis is an option. Yes, Giannis, like Giannis, and we'll build around that for sure.
I'm sitting here, and you know, we can do this like a little bit later. But you sit there, and to Kelly's point, you spin, and then when it lands on, especially like the 70s or 80s, and you just kind of forget. Okay, so for example, and you might could have gotten there on this, but like the 2000s Gilbert Arenas. There was a season that Gilbert Arenas averaged 25.8 points, 4.3 boards, 5.6 assists, 1.9 steals, and half a block.
Yeah, it's pretty
good.
Pretty good.
Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah, it was good. Shooting guards.
You just forget about these things, you know? You just forget about these things whenever you do.
That's another doc I got to watch. It's still on my list.
AFC East, the Jets and the Dolphins. We'll just lump these two together. I mean, going to be two of the worst teams in the NFL. The question is just how bad. I mean, and the just how bad comes down to the Dolphins. Are the Dolphins actually going to be the worst team in the NFL? That's kind of one of the questions that is lingering out there. I don't think that Malik Willis is trash, but I also don't think that Malik Willis is a take you to the promised land type quarterback either.
You also just don't know. You don't know right now.
But what we do know is that he is throwing to like Tutu Atwell, Jalen Tolbert, mm-hmm. and Malik Washington as his three wide receivers. That's his wide receivers, and he has two bad tackles and a guard that was the dead last ranked left guard in all of football last year. So it doesn't even matter if he is really good. He has no one to throw to, a crappy offensive line, and a defense that is probably going to give up a decent amount of points too.
Yeah.
So he's always going to be playing from behind, and you know what these defenses do whenever they know that you have to throw every single down. They just pass rush you left and right. And if you got bad tackles, dude's going to be on the ground a lot.
I don't like what are they supposed to be doing with Devon Achane this year? News on him, Halfley saying today he is a full go recovering from offseason shoulder surgery. But like Devon Achane's a good running back.
Yeah.
And like you're just going to let him wither away. I mean, like, what is he supposed to do behind that line with those weapons? Like, it's nothing.
Nothing.
I think this is the worst. Is this the worst roster in the NFL?
It's pretty close.
Oh, I think it's the worst.
It is pretty close.
Who else do you have up there?
I mean, they do have a guy named Storm Duck on the team.
Yeah, Storm Duck is still
on the team. They do have Storm Duck.
He's got to be one of their starters at corner, right?
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
Because if you go fewest wins and lowest win totals, it's Dolphins and Cardinals, right? Cardinals might even be lower than them. But, like, Cardinals have I don't want to say significantly better team, but a better team.
They definitely have a better team.
They have a better team. It's just they play in the NFC West in that schedule.
Yeah. They definitely have a better team. I would, in a head-to-head, I would take the Dolphins to have fewer wins.
Right. Okay.
Than the Cardinals.
Okay.
If it was just a head-to-head, okay, you have to pick one or the other to have fewer wins, I would pick the Dolphins. Because I also think that, like I said, there's a chance where they understand where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And someone comes knocking on the door for Achane, like, what are you going to do?
I mean, or he twists an ankle and it's bubble wrap him and put him away till next year, right? Like, I think you have to consider that if you're the Dolphins. The Jets, I find to be a more interesting conversation. And because Matt...
They're amusing.
I'll set this up because NFL teams these days do not seem shy when it comes to firing a head coach. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how Aaron Glenn is still the head coach of this team. And I think you could maybe be a little excited about some of the pieces on this roster, but I have no faith in the coaching staff whatsoever.
Yeah, it's like, so we know that we know what Geno is, right? Like, he has absolutely no ceiling, but his floor is at least like a little bit better than trash.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so like he is a little bit better than trash. So he's throwing to Garrett Wilson and Omar Cooper, and he's got Breece Hall, and they also drafted Sadiq as well.
I mean, this is a better setup than he had with the Raiders.
Oh, for sure. So I don't know. And you know, who knows? Maybe A.D. Mitchell is not the worst ever, too. Like, with a year to kind of, like, know that he's going to be a starter.
Yeah, he did just trade Sauce Gardner for him, yeah.
So is there a world that exists where this Jets team is actually a little bit feisty on the offensive side of the ball? I think there is.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
It's just what will the defense be able to do? There's actually players at each level. It's just they don't have multiple players at each level. They've got they have a good safety, a good linebacker. Mm-hmm. They have a good defensive lineman. It's not like this is like completely, you know, one-way traffic when it comes to teams going up against them. I think the Jets are one of those teams that are going to sneakily win two games that they're not supposed to and ruin somebody's
season. I kind of have the same feeling. I really, and I don't, I have no, again, no faith in the coaching staff whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to end up on an over, but they might be a look to bet on team. I mean, this was, even going back to last year, 3-14 straight up last year, 7-10 against the spread though. You talked about the offense. They were 11-6 to the over last year. I think there's reasons that could continue. Fifth easiest strength of schedule based off win total heading into this year. You would expect that they'd actually intercept a ball this year. Not a single interception last year for this defense. You don't think that changes.
Do I think the Dolphins win five games or do I think the Jets win six games?
It's the Jets winning six games all day long. 100%.
Like 10 times out of 10, I'm betting the Jets to win six games before I'm betting the Dolphins to win five games.
You know what? This is actually, I never make these bets. I think I'm going to do an exact order bet in this division. I already bet the Bills to win it. Yeah. If you're like me and you believe in the Bills,
then it's
two, three, and four.
The odds are exactly what they are. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's how you think it's going to finish.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. It would be, I think, but much greater chance Jets sneak around 7-8 wins than the Dolphins get to, close to that.
If you're a Patriots fan, I promise you we're going to get to the Patriots. It's just,
hey, you got a good young quarterback.
Listen, we want to just, we spent a little more time on the Dolphins and Jets than we thought, and then also this 82-0. I mean, listen, my roster is obviously better than Kelly's roster. We'll get to that and some MLB awards when we come back.